The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Being that tonight is Tu Bishvat, so therefore I would like to allocate the shiur to something that has to do with trees. This week's parsha is Yisro. Yisro is the giving of the Torah. So this will also be, we'll also speak about the Ma'alas HaTorah, the great benefits of Torah. In Sefer Tehillim, right at the beginning of the Tehillim, the first parsha, the first kapitel, Siman Aleph, David HaMelech compares the Odom HaSholem, the man who has reached a total perfection, to that of the tree. In the Sefer HaTehillim it says as follows: Ashrei ish asher lo halach ba'atzus rishoyim. How fortunate is the man who has not walked in the way, in the counsel of the wicked, v'derech hatoim le'omad, and the way of sinners he has not stood, v'meishav leitzim lo yoshov, and he has not sat amongst those who are leitzim. The leitzim are scoffers or those who sit idle. Ki im besoras Hashem heftzai, but the Torah of Hashem is his entire desire, and in his Torah he shall meditate. Yege can mean one of two things. It can be meditate with machshava, with mind, or with dibur, see, or with speech. Yomam v'loila, day and night. Now this David HaMelech right is this person, how fortunate he is. The Hoya ke eight shosur al palgemoyim, and he is like a tree which is implanted, which grows al palgemoyim by the brook, by a canal of water, asher pirio yitain bi'itoi, which will give forth its fruit in its proper time, v'olehu le'yibol, and its leaves, even its leaves, will not wither, v'chol asher ya'ase yatzliach, and everything that he does shall be successful. Le'chein arashoyim, not so with the wicked, kim kameitz asher titvenu ruach. They are like the chaff which will be blown away by the wind. These are the first few psukim of Kapitel Aleph, of the first chapter of Tehillim, where David HaMelech compares man, the man that has reached what he considers perfection, total perfection, to that of a tree. Now let's, again, since this evening is Tu Bishvat, the anniversary of the trees, and also Parshas Yisro, the giving of the Torah, let's examine this paragraph of Tehillim. First thing that we notice is the Sefer Tehillim is full of praises. It's full of songs and praises, so many that one cannot even count. Like I mentioned last week's shiur, we speak of the great poets of the centuries. They were kippah shum. They were like the peel of a garlic compared to Dovra Melech, King David. And the whole world drew on the Sefer of King David, the Tehillim, as the greatest source of poetry and of song and praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what is very worthy to note here, that the literally endless thousands of praises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that David HaMelech had, he opened the Sefer Tehillim by praising the person who is B'teiras Hashem Chepzoi, who desires only the Torah of Hashem, and in his Torah he labors, he speaks of, he meditates day and night. This is how he opens his whole Sefer of Tishboches, of praises. This indicates to one the great level that one can come to when it's Teres Hashem Heftsoy, he desires the Torah Hashem. And first he says, before he comes to that, he says, Hashem Leholach Ba'atzis Rishoyim, who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, of Ederech HaToyim Le'omad, and he does not stand in the way of the sinners, of Emeshev Leitzim Le'yosuf, and he does not sit amongst those who scoff or who are idle. Here he tells us that before one can come to Torah Hashem, he has to separate himself from Ra, from evil. Many times we think that we can be friends with anyone that we want. We can walk in whatever circle we want. We can belong to whatever social group we want. We can go wherever we want, and still we'll learn Torah. We'll become great in Torah and great in righteousness. David HaMelech says no. First you have to separate yourself, divide yourself from evil. Sur me'ravi asei tov. Distance yourself from evil and then concentrate on doing good. If you're standing amongst the evil, in the evil, you're part of their chevra. You have a bond with them. You associate yourself with them. There, you won't be successful in trying to do good. I recall many years ago when I was a bocher in Yeshiva's Tells, there was a bocher there who left the yeshiva. He became very interested in philosophy, in Goyish philosophy. He was interested to become a great thinker. And he went to university and he majored in philosophy. And there he studied all types of kefira, of atheism and whatnot. And he used to write me letters. We were friends when we were in the yeshiva. And then one day he wrote me that he would like the gifter to answer certain philosophical questions that he had. So I gave the message to the gifter. So he said, with pleasure, but first he must leave the university. First he must leave the school of philosophy, his professors, and then I'll write him with pleasure. But Kozman, as long as he's in that tumah, right, he says, it's fruitless to write to him. This is what
The Gemara says, "Hatevel b'mikveh b'sheres b'yodeh." Can't go into a mikveh to be matare, to purify yourself. When you're holding that, for example, if you're holding in your hand a dead reptile, the type of reptile that causes one to become tomei, first you have to leave go of the reptile. Then you can go into the mikveh. He says, tell him, let him leave there. Then I will answer all the questions he wants. So this is what David HaMelech is saying. First, get out of the circle of those who give evil advice. We all have advisors. See, people that like to advise us. And don't walk in the ways of the sinners, and don't sit amongst those who are the scoffers. Then throw yourself into the Teres Hashem. Now, when it states Meshib Leitzim, there are two types of Leitzim, as mentioned. One type of Leitzim is Amalig al Divrei Chachomim. Amalig al Divrei Torah. That's the scoffers. Those who scoff at anything that is important. Those that scoff at the words of Torah, at the words of rebuke. It states that the Leitzim, they hate rebuke because it's just contrary. Rebuke comes to give value to something, to give importance to what's good. They come to tear down what's good. That's what it states, that Letzona Achas Dechamea Techoches. One Letzonis. One appropriate word. When I say appropriate, it's actually a misappropriate appropriation. But an appropriate word from a letz, from the scoffer, can destroy 100 rebukes from the Novi, from the Prophet. There's another type. So this type of scoffer, we understand that you shouldn't be from the Hevra. But there's another type of leitzim. Those who are neutral, they don't scoff, but they're totally idle. They let their time get lost. This we would say is not so bad. What's the matter with being in their chevra? Rashi brings, and this is a Gemara in Aveiros Zorah, that you have some debates. Olam Marato, Shemeishim Leitzim, Geirim Bitel Torah. We see that if someone sits in such a chevra, it's going to steal from him his time of Torah. Time is life. It's the essence of life. What is life? Life is time on this world. Not a matter how long a person will live, it's not forever. So time is life, there's nothing more valuable. And he was given life on this world to achieve. The greatest he can achieve is the Torah and its mitzvahs. The group who sit idle, they should become his greatest enemies. Because when he's with them, they steal life from him. They are stealing his very life. So therefore, David HaMelech said, "Ubemeishiv leitzim la Yosef," that you are not to sit in the groups of those of idleness. Actually, the Rambam brings that this group is even more dangerous than what we just mentioned. Rambam brings at the end of Tumas Saras, Perek Tes Zayin, Hilchos Tumas Saras, where he's speaking that a person was stricken by leprosy. It was a certain type of disease that was similar to leprosy. It's something that we do not have now. And this came because of Lashon Hara, because of slander. He writes, "Lefichok ro'in lemisha reitze lechaven eichosev, yisrachek mi yishivosom." He says, therefore, someone who wants to set his path straight, he should distance himself from those groups of leitzim, with dabri mahim, and to speak to them. In order that he will not be gathered in together with them also. He says, those who just sit idle, he says, first they just talk about unimportant subjects. As it states, the fools spend a lot of time talking about nothing. But from there, where does it lead? They start to criticize other people. And from there it leads to criticize the tzaddikim, the righteous. And from there it leads further to start to criticize the Nevi'im, the prophets. In other words, those who rebuke. And from there it goes even further to criticize HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And it comes to the greatest Lashon Hara. Zuhi Sichas HaRishoyim. This is the gossip of the Rishoyim of the wicked. Shigeremes lahem yeshivas kronis v'yeshivas kinesiyah shalami oretz v'yeshivas botim mishtois. What causes this? It starts with idle chatter. It starts with those people who have plenty of time on their hands, and therefore they want to sit and just talk. They sit on the corners and talk, or they assemble at different parties and talk, get together for parties, talk on the telephones. It starts with neutral talk, not harming anyone, but from there starts to bring up individuals. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? What do you think of him? And they start to criticize. And then even individuals who are tzaddikim, the righteous. And from there it goes to the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Rabbonim. And then it goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Avosichas Kshori Yisrael. The conversation of the upright Jews. Ein ele b'divrei v'chokh. They speak of the words of Torah. They speak of the words of wisdom. They speak of the words of mitzvahs, of gemilas chesed. There it's a mitzvah to associate with these people. They come and they tell you that so-and-so is having a difficult time, he needs some help. Let's think of ways we can help him. Or whatever it might be. So-and-so is sick. Someone should go visit him. And so forth. And the Fichoch, and this is what David HaMelech said, Ubameishim yet leitzim leYoshev. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ezer al Yodon, Umezaknei Sebo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a group of people talking in Yiras Hashem, in Chochmah, in the wisdom of Hashem, he helps them. As it states, Oz Nibru Yirei Hashem Yishal Rehu, Vayakshev Hashem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that there's a group speaking and they're speaking of wisdom and of Yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem, he listens and he writes it down in the Sefer HaZikaron. All of those who spend time speaking about him, about his Torah and his mitzvahs. So therefore David HaMelech said, before one can come to the great level of Teres Hashem Heftzai, where he desires the Teres Hashem, first he must separate himself, divorce himself from the evil groups, free himself from those bonds. Then he's a free man, and then he can start doing something positive. Now, after that, so then he writes in his Tehillim, Ki Beteres Hashem Heftzoi. It's interesting. He writes, Ki Beteres Hashem Heftzoi, Ubeseirosa Yege Yemam Alaylo. he will give himself over to Torah day and night. But there's a condition beforehand. That condition is B'teiras Hashem Chepzo. First he has to desire. First he has to want Teiras Hashem. The Rambam actually writes in Per Gimel of Hilchus Tamo Torah. He said that there are certain exclusive groups in Israel which not everyone can get a membership card to join. For example, Kohuna, priesthood, that was given to Aaron Vizare, to Aaron and his seed. You don't belong to their family, there's no way you can become part of it. Malchus, royalty, that was given to David Vizare, to King David and his seed. You don't belong to his family, there's no way you can get into it. These were two crowns that were given to Israel. He said a third crown was given to Israel. This is a mission with Ektobis. Third crown, he says, which is greater than the other two. That's Keser Torah, the crown of Torah. This crown of Torah, is it exclusive? Is there one group that has the monopoly on it? He says, no. This was given l'chol Israel, to everyone. There's no monopoly. As it says, states, Torah tziva lonu Moshe, Moreshes kilus Yaakov. Torah Moshe gave us, and it's an heritage. It's a heritage for all of Israel. So he says, so what is the condition then? How do you become a member? He says, call me Sheyitza Yavav Yitov. Doesn't give itself to everyone. Call me Sheyitza. He who wants it, then let him come and take it. That's the condition. You don't want it, then you don't become part of that group. You want it, then you can become part of the group. And then he starts to tell one how, after that, he can become. This is what David HaMelech is saying first. He says, Kim B'teiras Hashem Heftzai. First you have to desire the Torah of Hashem. It's interesting, he says, Torah Hashem. You have to desire the Torah of Hashem. If you desire, if you want with all your heart the Torah Hashem, then you can come to the level of Torah. Otherwise not. Then he says that this person will follow day and night, all of his available time he will give over to Torah. The Chazal, the sages, bring out, Rashi quotes it, it's a Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah. Why in the beginning does it state Torah Hashem? And at the end of the Pasuk it states Uvetzeirosoi, his Torah. There's a B'Torah Hashem Heftzoi. He desires Torah Hashem. Uvetzeirosoi Yege Yom Avalayla. His Torah. He will study day and night. And they tell us something very profound. In the beginning it's Torah Hashem. Belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you desire to have the Torah that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you labor in it day and night, then it becomes your Torah. It becomes his. Now, we would think, who gives one Torah? States HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melamed Teira L'chol Yisrael. He gives Torah. We always ask that Hashem should give us his Torah. Galei Nai V'Abitu Tiflei Secha. Open our eyes so we can see the wonders of your Torah. It says that Luke Megirso Bin and Satzad Ishmael. To have success in learning, you need the help of Hashem. Nevertheless, we see it becomes yours. And this is relevant to Halacha. The Gemara brings him a Masechet Kiddushin. Gemara brings a king. Shemochel al kvedei, ein kvedei mochel. If a king wants to waive his honor If he wants, we were obligated to give enormous honor, enormous cover to a king. We're obligated. If a king wants to say, no, it's not necessary, don't have to give me so much honor, you can sit down, don't have to stand, and so forth and so on, ain't fede mochel. He is not allowed to waive that honor, because it's not his royalty, it was given to him. Talmud Chochem shemochel al kfeide, kfeide mochel. If a Talmud Chochem, if he waives his honor, he tells someone, don't stand up for me, you can sit. It's waived. Shetora dilehi. Because why must you give him honor? Because of the Torah. It's his Torah. And therefore he has a right to waive it. Once he labors in a day and night, then it becomes his Torah. And in this we see further. It states at the end of Masechet Avos, "Bishas petirase shel adam," when a person dies, "Ein malavin le kesev velezov," his silver doesn't go with him, his gold doesn't go with him. "Avonim tovos umargolias," his precious stones do not go with him. None of this he takes. What goes with him? El Torah u'masim tovim bilvad. His Torah and his deeds of Torah. And the Maral explains why. He says, because material possessions you have a limited ownership in. Limited. It's limited to this world. Once a person dies, there's Yerusha. The Torah takes it away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it away from you. And it goes to the heir. The Gemara says, the minute a person dies, he's not an owner of his possessions anymore. The heirs have taken over. If he wants to give it away, he better give it away while he's alive. Because once he's dead, he's no longer a balabos. So material goods, you have no real kinyan, you have no real possession. It's limited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you only while you're living. Your Torah, that's a real possession. That's unlimited. No one can take it from you. What you learn, what you labor for, the mitzvahs of the Torah that you do, those are yours forever. There is ein Yerusha Torah. You cannot even will it. You cannot bequeath it. You cannot give it over to inheritance. Mordechai says, how many times do we see great Talmidei Chachamim, great Rabbonim, and their children not? She'ein Yerusha Torah. You can give over your material goods, but not Torah. That's yours. And that no one can take from you. Therefore, when a person leaves this world, he leaves all his material goods behind. But Torah u'maisim tovim, that goes with it. So, this is what is meant, that b'tchila teiras Hashem, in the beginning it's the Torah of Hashem. But when he's yege, yom v'layla, when he labors in it every day, Torah delay, sorase, it becomes his Torah. Now, he says, what happens when a person comes to this level? Then he compares him to a tree. He's like a tree which is implanted. Now, palge moim, the simple interpretation of palge moim is a strong brook or canal, ever flowing brook. It's called palge because it keeps splitting and dividing in order to go all through the fields. So he's like a tree which is planted on a brook. Now, the interpretation here is a tree, if it's planted far away from water, so then it's not strong. It becomes weak. Its fruits are not so good. If it's planted closer to water, then it becomes a healthier tree. It's a stronger tree. But even then, sometimes the source of water might dry up. The Talmid Chochem, the one who has labored day and night in Torah, his source of sustenance, his source of spiritual energy, is the Torah. That never dries up, because that has its source in Hashem Himself. So therefore, he will be like a tree that is planted right on this strong, ever-flowing brook, and therefore will grow strong and healthy. And Piryo Yitein Be'itoy, and therefore its fruit will also be healthy, and it'll be given in the proper times. Another interpretation, though, which I believe I once saw somewhere, that Palgei Mayim means a divided brook, where the brook is already divided into several different streams, and the tree has spread its roots where they are taking water from all of the different streams. They have spread their root towards one stream, and then another, and then a third. And in this way, it's always guaranteed of having water, of having sustenance. And this is by the Talmud Chochem also, that actually not only he's also Al Palgei Mayim, because he stands on both worlds. Someone who lives only in this world is not everlasting. But someone who's implanted in both worlds, in this world and in the higher worlds, then his sustenance will be forever. Asher piryo yitein bi'ito. The simple sense of fruit, this refers to children. And they also will be good children, because they're coming from a good tree. And especially in this case, where he has roots, be'ilam ha'elyayim, in the highest world. There's another interpretation of Piryay, which Rashi brings in the beginning of Parshas Noach, where it states, Eila told this Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach is sadik tomim hoye b'dei resov. Noach was a righteous person who was perfect in his generation. So the question is asked, Eile toldus Noach, toldus means children. These are the toldus, toldus means the offshoots, the offsprings. These are the offsprings of Noach, and then it starts to tell us that Noach was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. So Rashi brings, there are two types of offsprings. There's a physical offspring, and there's the spiritual offspring. The physical offspring is the children that the person produces. But there's a greater offspring, even than children. And these are the ikar toldei sehem. And these are the main fruits of man. These are his deeds. Ikar toldei sehem shel tzadik. The main offsprings of the righteous are maisim tovim. Therefore, Eile toldus Noach. These are the offsprings of Noach. Noach was ish tzadik tomim hoye b'dei resov. Righteous and perfect in his generation. Why are the deeds considered the offsprings? So the Maral explains. Because what is the fruit? The fruit is the potential of the tree, the potential of the seed coming forth into this world. You have a seed. The seed encompasses the powers to bring forth a fruit. But it's only in potential. It's only bekeach. The actual fruit is the development of that potential into the realistic world. Alapel. The same thing with man. When man is born, he encompasses endless, enormous potential powers. But if he doesn't bring it forth into the world of reality, he's the same as a seed that was never planted, a seed that was destroyed. What is it then? How does he bring this potential into the world? Through his acts, through his deeds, through his Torah. He can bring forth rotten fruits. He can bring forth wonderful fruits. Pirya yitain be'itai. The person of Torah perfection will bring forth perfect fruits. Every act that he does is his potential coming into reality. Every act that he can do and he doesn't do is a wasted potential. The same with Torah. This is why Rav brings that Torah needs dibor. It states in a Torah nikne ela bechabura. You can acquire Torah only together with a chaver. Why a chaver? Because again, if Torah remains only in your thoughts, it's a high level, it's an enormous level, but it has not come yet into this world. It's still locked in your own world. To bring it into this world, we need the dabatabom, that you shall express it. Express it, give it over. Now you have studied Torah and brought it into this world. These are the toldos of the person. This is his fruits. I saw not long ago, this is the simple meaning. I saw not long ago, though, from the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, where he writes in the Sefer Torah Shabbais, where he brings from the Sforim yet another meaning of this. He says, the sages tell us that every time a person does a good act, he creates a malach hatov. This the source is for. Obvious other places. He creates a good angel. And that angel stands by him and guards him and even leads him into the next world. And the more a person does in this world, the more angels he creates. The more Torah he learns, and the more Torah he teaches, the more angels he creates. He says, those angels, those malochim, since he has created them, they are bonim mamish. They are his children, because he has created them. He says, therefore, that's what is meant. Ikar maisim, ikar toldosov, shel tzadik maisim tovim. The main offsprings. The son is the physical offspring, but a man creates spiritual offsprings also. And that's all of these angels that he creates. And he says that's what is meant when it states, "V'holach lefanecha tzidkecha." It states that when a person leaves this world, his tzedek, all of his righteousness, all of his mitzvahs go first. These are all of these angels, all of his children. So therefore, Piri Yitain Bi'ito, he will give forth these, his fruits, in the proper time. Now it states, V'or Lehu Lo Yibel. His leaves will not wither. We're referring to this tree, and we're comparing the man of perfection to the tree. His leaves will not wither. The Gemara tells us something very interesting. Rashi brings it. The Gemara tells us something very interesting on this that we just learned last month. What does it mean the leaves will not wither? What do we have from the leaves? Actually, we have very little from the leaves. We have shade, which is wonderful. But actually, when do the leaves wither? The leaves wither in the wintertime. We don't really need them then. We don't need the shade. So what does it mean that the leaves do not wither? So the Gemara brings him a Masechta Sukkah. In the first Mishnah of the second Perek, on Daf Chof Amud Beis, the leaves will not wither. This means Afilu Pseilus Shebai. Even the most simplest part of the Talmud Chacham, like the leaves of a tree which are no longer needed, will not wither. To teach us Afilu Sichosan Shel Tamidei Chachamim Tzrichin Limud, even the conversation which seems like an idle conversation of the Talmud Chacham, even when a Talmud Chacham makes a mili de bedichus, a joke, it is full of Torah that we can learn from. The Mishnah states as follows. It states, there's a question with a sukkah. It's a mitzvah to be in the sukkah, to eat in the sukkah, to sleep in the sukkah. So there's a question if you can sleep under a bed. Because if you sleep under a bed in a sukkah, so it could be you're sleeping under the bed, it's no longer considered you're sleeping in the sukkah. The bed becomes like an eihel, like a machitza. It's blocking you from the sukkah. So the Mishnah brings a case. Omer b'shimen maise b'tavi avdi shalom gamlil. Ram Gamliel, who was the great Ram Gamliel, the Nossi, he had an Eved, he had a slave, an Eved Kenani, and he saw Yoshin Tachas Amito, and in the Sukkah, he used to go and sleep under the bed. Vomalen Ram Gamliel Zgenim. Ram Gamliel said to the other elders, Rashi says he said this as a matter of bidichuso, see, in a cheerful way. He says, Re'isim Tavi Abdi, Shu Talmud Chacham. You see, Tavi, my servant, you see what a Talmud Chacham he is. Yedei Shebavodim Turim Min HaSukkah. He knows that an Eved is not obligated in the Mitzvah Sukkah. Lefichoch Yoshinu Tachas Amito. Therefore, he would sleep under the bed. Tesis brings from the Yishami, what was going on here? If you sleep under the bed, they held, you can't fulfill the Mitzvah. Tavi, the servant, would sleep under the bed in order to give room to the other in the sukkah, the other Talmidei Chachamim, that they would have room to sleep and not be under the bed. And he knew that him it won't affect because he's not obligated in the mitzvah sukkah. So the Yishalmi asked, so then, why did he come into the sukkah to sleep under the bed? Let him sleep outside. So the answer is Shohaya, because Mishani Dereit Shohaya Lishmaya Divrei Chachamim, because he wanted to hear the words of the Divrei Chachamim. See, when the Chachamim were in the sukkah, they were talking, and he wanted to hear. So he wanted to be in the sukkah. But on the other hand, to take space, that was kosher space, he knew he didn't have to, because he wasn't obligated. So therefore, he would sleep under the bed. So Ram Gamliel was praising. He says, look, my Eved is a Talmud Chacham. He knows that even though he wants to be in the sukkah, he chooses to sleep under the bed. Now the Mishnah that says, Ulefi darkeinu lamadnu shayoshen tacha samita layotzi yedechei vosoi. Lefi darkeinu means, according to our ways of what we have heard, we know, therefore, that one sleeps under a bed, doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. But what does it mean, lefi darkeinu? So Rashi explains here that Ram Gamliel did not tell us this as an instruction. He was telling us this as a mili de bidichuso. See, he was telling us this more as a he said it jokingly. But even as he said it jokingly to praise his Eved, we can learn from here an important halacha, an important law. See, that if you sleep under a bed in the sukkah, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. Now the Gemara and the Kaf Aleph Amud Beis comes along and says, Tanya Omer Reb Shimon Misichosei Shel Rav Gamliel, from the conversation of Rav Gamliel, Lamanu Shnei Dvorim. We learn two halachas. Firstly, Lamanu Shavorim Turim Min HaSukkah. We learn that an Eved is not obligated in sukkah, because he said he's not fulfilled in the mitzvah, and he praised him. Secondly, we learn Shayoshin Tachasamita Layotzi De Chavosai. We learn that if someone sleeps under a bed in a sukkah, he also does not fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, why do you say Misichosai from Rav Gamliel's conversation? Why don't you say Midvorov Shel Rav Gamliel, from his words? Because, so the Gemara answers, that the Braisa wants to teach us something else. If we would have said from his words, that means from his instruction, he has taught us. He says, no, he did not teach us this directly. This we're learning from what others would consider perhaps idle chatter. See, he came along and said, you see, my Tavi, you see what a great Talmud Chochem he is. Doesn't need the sukkah, and he knows therefore that he can be under the bed. So he said, I am the Braisud, I am saying Mishichose Shalom Gamliel, not from his words of instruction, from even from his seemingly idle chatter, we learn two great halachas. These two halachas, Shahafilu Sichas Talmidei Chachomim Sricha Libud, when you hear what seems to be idle talk, or even a joke from a Talmud Chochem, study it. It's full of Torah. She says, how do we know this? Quotes from here, as it states, for Aleha lo evil. It says that he, the Talmud Chochem, is compared to this tree, and even its leaves will not wither. What does it mean, David HaMelech is teaching us, even its leaves will not wither? That by the Talmud Chochem, even his idle chatter is not lost. That means that he has come to such a level after his learning day and night in Torah and desiring it, he's kula Torah. It's impossible that in something that he says or does should not be instruction. That's what David HaMelech meant to say, Alehu, Alehu, lo yivol, even the leaves do not wither. This is also what the Gemara, actually, there was a visiting rabbi we had today. And he came in and I was preparing the shiur, and I told him what I was just writing. So he said, he added to it, which is very good. See, this is what the Gemara brings, that shimushe gedele milimudai. To be in the company of a Talmud Chochem, and to be with him, you can learn more than actually from his shiurim. Because in everything that he does, there's instruction of Torah. That's what it states, the great mile, the great level of Yeshua. That Yeshua always was with Mesha, see? And would assist him wherever he can. Always follow him around and so forth. He associated with him. From there he learned so much. This is one capital of Tehillim, in which we learn a lot about a tree and what we can learn from the tree. There's another capital of Tehillim, which I believe that we spoke about last year. Last year also Tu Bishvat came out. It was, I think, also on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night it was either Metzei Tu Bishvat or Erev Tu Bishvat. And we mentioned that there's another capital of Tehillim. This is in Siman Tzadik Beis, Bizmo Shiliyem HaShabbos, which we're all familiar with, in which David HaMelech writes, Tzadik Kato Meyifro Ki Eres Balvon En Yiske. The Tzadik flourishes like the Tomar. The Tomar is the day tree. And Ki Eres Balvon En Yiske, and he Yifroch means to flourish. Yiske means to grow mighty, towering height. He will grow to mighty and towering heights like the Arzei Levonim. There were certain deserts, certain woods, and they were referred to as Levonim, where great cedars grew. And they grew to towering heights. The Gemara comes along in Baba Basra, and the Gemara says, why does Dovid HaMelech compare the righteous to both the Toma, the date tree, and the Erez, and the cedar tree? Either compare them to a date tree or compare them to a cedar tree. So the Gemara says, it's the Gemara on Pe'omet Beis. Im nemer Toma loma nemer Erez, im nemer Erez loma nemer Toma, ilu nemer Erez. If we would just compare him to a cedar tree. The cedar tree was used for its wood. It was one of the strongest wood and the most beautiful wood, and especially the Arzei Levonim. Mora brings, I think there's 10 different species of cedar, but especially this type of cedar. So if we would compare him to the Erez, so I would say he's strong like the Erez, but the cedar did not give off fruits. I would say he has no fruits. Therefore we compare him to the Tomer, to the date tree, that gives off multitude of fruits. If we would compare him to the date tree, then I would say that he gives off multitudes of fruits, but en gizei machlif. But gizei machlif means that when you cut it down, it does not grow back. Therefore, it's compared to the cedar tree to tell us, Gizei Machli, when you cut it down, it grows back. Now, what does the Gemara mean? It means as follows. The great mila of the date tree is its multitude of fruits. It gives off enormous fruits. And actually, the Gemara brings, the Medrash brings in a place that it gives off fruits all of the time. Not nilkotim ka'achas, not at one time. Keeps giving off fruits the whole season. And secondly, besides giving off so many fruits, which bring great joy to people, the fruit of the Tomer in particular brings joy to people. Because the Gemara tells us that its fruits were nechal letanug. Dates were eaten for enjoyment. Besides that they're nourishing, some fruits we eat for nourishment. They taste good, but mainly for nourishment. They don't really, might not taste so wonderfully. But the dates were full of sweetness. Fact is, when the Gemara says, when the Torah says, Eretz Zovas Cholav Udvash, it's a land of milk and honey, it's referring to Dvash Tamorim. The Dvash, the honey that comes from the dates. This was the common sweetener that was used. This was the sugar. It was the natural sweetness of the date. And that's why the Gemara brings also that this was used many times for a dessert. Generally fruits you should eat at the beginning of the meal. But this was used as a dessert because of its sweetness. So its fruits, both because of their multitude and their sweetness, they bring wonderful joy and simcha to people. But there's no value in its wood, very little value in its wood. And also, once it dies, then it's finished. But still, it has a wonderful value, because during its lifetime, it can give off so many fruits and so much sweet fruits to the people. The Erez is just the opposite. The Erez has no fruits whatsoever. But its wood is the strongest wood and from the most beautiful wood. The Gemara Gittin brings a Munzain, Seif Omer Aleph, that Beitar was destroyed because of a little episode of Asako de Rispak, Chora Beitar. What happened? It says that they, when a son was born, they used to plant a sapling of a cedar tree. When a daughter was born, so then they planted a different type of tree. And these trees grew up, and when the son got married, they would cut down the tree, and it would be used to build the chuppah, or the wedding house. Daughter would get married, the same thing. What happened one day is, one of the Roman princesses was driving in her chariot, and the side of the chariot, the wheel broke, and her servants got out, and they needed some wood, so they took one of these cedar trees, and they cut it down, and they created a whole business, and they started a whole fight and whatnot, and this initiated the war against Beitar with the Romans. Maral brings Beitar was known as the fortress. See, the Beitar was the Krach Chozok. It was known for its strength. And this is why they would plant as a simon the cedar tree for a zocher, for a male. See, the male is the gavra, the sign of strength. They would take this cedar, which was the sign of strength. Another thing, not only was it good wood, but Gizeh Machlif, when you cut it, it grew back. We were in Swaziland once. I forgot the name of the trees, but we saw their beautiful forests. And the farmer told us, he harvests them every 5 years. Every 5 years he cuts down the tree. They harvest it for wood. There was a timber company not far, where they would manufacture timber and paper. And 5 years later, the tree would be back to where it was. And that's what they did. Every 5 years, they were harvesting all the time. But each tree, after it was 5 years old, they could cut it down. 5 years later, and they grew very high. And 5 years later, it grew again. Well, this is what the cedar. It's Gizeh Machlif. So even though it doesn't give fruit, it still has its value. It's an unending supply of wood. Now, I would think that the Talmud Chochem, he gives out fruits. He gives out all of his peres, like we were speaking. And they bring simcha to the people. It states in Remei Reimer, Misameach es Abriyos. This is one of the Memches Dvorim, Shateir and Ignais Behem. That he's Misameach es Abriyos. Talmud Chochem brings happiness and joy to the people. These are his fruits, it's like the date tree. But I would say Ein Gizeh Machlif, he doesn't have that strength. On that we say he's like the cedar tree, where he has the strength of the cedar wood and the longevity of the cedar wood that always grows. What does it mean always grow? The Rishbam brings two perushim, two explanations. Gizeh Machlif, sometimes he can leave over a son, let's say Talmud Chochem in his place. Not all of the time, but sometime. But secondly, he says, it states in Mishlei, Ki sheva yipol tzadik bekom. The righteous, you cannot knock down. No matter how many times you will knock him down, no matter how many times he falls, he will always get up. See, the righteous are not righteous because they never fall. Everyone falls. This is from Mishlei, Shlema Melech. This is in Mishlei Chomdalet. There Shlema Melech writes the difference between the righteous and the wicked is not because the righteous do not fall and the wicked do. No, everyone falls. The righteous get up. The wicked remain on the ground. You cannot keep a good man down. Even seven times. Seven is a expression for multitude. He will always get up. So this is strength. And this is a strength that never ends. The Maral goes further to say that even when he dies, he gets up. He will get up at the Tchias HaMeisim and in the next world. So therefore, David HaMelech said, Tzadik Katoma Yifroch, he is like the date tree that will give multitudes of fruits and sweetness to the people. Uke Eres Balvon and Yisker, and he will grow to the towering strength of the cedar wood. With its strength, and never-ending strength that even if he's cut down, he grows back. He gets up. And even when he dies, he will also get up. He will get up in the next world. So here is a second case where we have in Tehillim, where David HaMelech compares the tzaddik, the righteous, to the trees, and we can learn something about the trees and about ourselves. I'd like to close with, I think I made mention of this last year, that in general, we learn Tu Bishvat brings a cognizance to us, to a very, what should be very simple, some very simple information, and that is, we have to have Derech Eretz and Hakadosh HaTov. We have to have respect and appreciation for Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, for Hakadosh Baruch Hu's creation, for His nature. And this should be very simple for anyone to understand. It states, the Maisa Hashem is Sholem. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is perfect. Encompassed in creation is everything, every material goodness that man needs. There is nothing that man does not need that is not in the nature. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. All the refuahs, even the refuahs, cures for everything, is found in the nature. Except mankind, or Western culture, has not found it all yet. Other cultures have found it, some was lost. But some of our greatest medicines come from nature. Quinine, you call it quinine. It's from a plant. Once read where they said that there could be hundreds of medicines, thousands of medicines, locked away in the rainforests that we haven't discovered yet. I was once in a game reserve, and the ranger pointed out there was a certain tree that had started to, this was in the springtime, it's right before the summer, and there was a certain tree that gave a certain fruit that doesn't taste that good. We don't need it. He pointed it out that it starts to blossom in the hot season, right during the malaria season. And the natives eat it. They have a tradition that it protects them from malaria. And he says they're finding that this is true. Once read an article where they're studying animals now, where they watched it's a big monkey.
A baboon.
They watched the baboon that a baboon became sick. He had a stomach problem. And he laid around groaning and whatnot. Finally he picked himself up and he went looking for a certain plant and he ate it for a day or two. Then he recovered. And the scientists took the plant and they found that it has in it what's needed to cure stomach problems. And now this is becoming, this was an article in one of the magazines, now this is becoming a scientific endeavor to study the animals, to see what plants they go for. But for some reason, the nations of the world have a difficult time understanding this, that you should have respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation and what it can encompass, because they only constantly destroy it. Why should they have such a difficult time understanding this? This is something that you teach in school to 5-year-olds. The answer is because they're amongst the kofrim. They're amongst those who deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they deny the Maaseh Bereishis. It's like David HaMelech said, their holach ba'atzus reshoim. They go in the counsel of the wicked. Where it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the creation to bring kavod. Everything that is in the creation testifies to him, to his greatness and to his wisdom. They use everything against him. They will come to any stupidity as long as we can break the bond between the creation and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is, in our generation, this is the evolutionist. Today you can hardly open a book or a magazine without it telling you that this has evolved over millions of years. Or the reason why we are like this today, or this animal is like this today, because evolution required it. A stupidity that is beyond human comprehension. You wonder how stupid can people become, and the answer is, it's not stupidity. It's because they're kafri. Because they want to deny the Ba'is of Bereishis, so they will go to all extremes to deny it. This is the Kfira Ha'arura, the cursed atheism that has turned the world away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Explicit in the creation of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in its shlemus, in its totality. It wasn't necessary any evolution. And at the same time, when they speak about this, they want to tell us that the world is not capable of providing for man. You got all of these groups that go from one end of the world to the other with a doctrine of population control, birth control, where it becomes the greatest mitzvah of humanity to make people sterile, or the greatest mitzvah of Hariges Uber, abortion becomes the greatest mitzvah, saving millions of lives, because the world is not capable of sustaining human population. Which also is such a stupidity beyond human comprehension, that it's only possible because of the kfira, of the cursed kfira atheism that's in these people. Not many years ago, China is not classified as a first world country. China, with a population of what? A billion.
1.2 billion.
So just a few years ago, produced so much food for themselves that they had to export. In America, you have endless and endless prairies, endless and endless land. There you have ranches and farms that go into the hundreds of thousands of acres, which lie idle because the government pays them that they should be lie idle, not to plant, because there'll be too much food on the market, and if it's too much food on the market, it'll force prices down. I was once traveling here in South Africa. It was somewhere in the Eastern Transvaal. It was near, I forget the name of the place, Windy something, what's it called? It's up high. It was not far from Nelspruit, those places, which is very, very fertile areas. And we were speaking to one of the farmers, and it was very high, and you could see the beautiful land. And we said, house things and so forth. Yes, he says, good seasons. He says, but our problem is we don't have enough people. He says, the land lies idle. We need more people to farm it. In Africa, where you have the greatest starvation. There is Zaire. They say it is so wealthy in resources and so rich in land. You throw a seed out the window, the next year there'll be a tree there. 65% of the country is roadless. People do not know what's there. It's never been developed. Rhodesia, former Rhodesia, it's having starvation. South African farmers told me, they said, our land can't compare with their land whatsoever. Nah, their land is far more fertile, and their rain is far more better. Their produce is far greater. I met a Rhodesian farmer once. He came to South Africa. He says he cannot understand how there can be starvation there. He says the whole war that went on for years was financed by the farmers. Small group of farmers. He says we had so much food that we made enough money on it where we were financing the whole army. I'm just citing a few places. If you want to know that maybe the world can support 10 times the population of it today. But if there's a problem, the problem is not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem is with the Rishoim that are busy destroying the world. Let me just quote. First of all, Time magazine, they put out a special edition a year ago called Planet of the Year, where they wrote that the tropical rainforests, these are some of the most richest areas in the world, are being destroyed by man at the rate of one football field per second. Round the clock. One football field per second, around the clock, being destroyed by man. Yeah, maybe there's something to be worried about. But not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's aspect. And then, the greatest destroyer of the creation is man's wars. When do they stop fighting? Since the creation of the world, they haven't stopped fighting. Mentioned many times when the sages refer to history, world history, they call it Agayim U'Milchamaseihem. That's the study of the nation and the wars. That's world history. When do they stop fighting? There's been well over 100 major wars in our century alone. Now, what does a war do? You take out resources from the soil. You make airplanes out of it, and you make ships out of it, and you make bombs out of it. And you destroy cities that were built from the resources of the earth, and you destroy forests, and you destroy farms, and then it sinks and rots in the oceans where it pollutes the oceans. This is war. If you want to get an idea of what the cost of war is, and this you could tell the people that are from here that are speaking of this. Quoting The Economist, January 4th, 1997, it states that now we have a problem that the Cold War is over. We have stockpiles of nuclear weapons that will be very, very expensive to dismantle. According to America's Department of Energy, the United States will have to spend over, possibly well over, $230 billion during the coming decade or two to clean up contaminated sites from old test ranges and storage sites to disused weapons assembly plants. $230 billion, that's about a trillion rand. It costs more to produce it. It's going to cost a trillion rand. That's a trillion rand of resources is going down the drain to clean up the mess from the Cold War. But it says, oh, that was cheap, though, because it wasn't a real war. It was just a Cold War. See? What was the cost of the real water? A preliminary unofficial guess by the United States Nuclear Weapon Cost Study project based at the Brookings Institution, Washington, D.C. is that over the more than five decades from its inception in 1940 to 1995, the United States Nuclear Weapons Program cost American taxpayers a minimum of $4 trillion. That's in 1996 dollars. So here again, this was the from 1940 to 1995, the nuclear weapons program cost $4 trillion. Calculated in 1996 dollars, that's about 20 trillion rands. But Cold War was relatively cheap compared to the cost of real World War. One estimate made back in 1948 of the military, economic, and commercial costs of this century's two world wars translates into about $22 trillion in today's money. $22 trillion. That would be 100 trillion rand. That's what the two wars cost. This, I'm not sure if this is America's cost or if everybody's cost, but this is what it cost. Now, and the Goyim, the nations of the world, they haven't stopped fighting. It is continually. The miracle, it's not that the world cannot sustain humanity. The miracle is how the world is still capable of sustaining humanity with all of these Meshugoyim running around.
See?
This is the miracle. And it still is. But where does this thinking come from? The thinking is based because the kafirim, those who want to deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, must do everything possible, be it rational or irrational, to come to some type of thinking as long as it denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is the creator of the world. So, Tu Bishvat especially brings home this seemingly simple information that we must be cognizant and respect, recognize and be thankful for even the smallest creation, certainly the entire creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.